WUKY presents health news you can use. It's Dr. Greg Davis on medicine.
Infrastructure, whether we're talking about public health or such utilities as water and electricity, are often not thought of until something goes wrong. But access to safe drinking water depends not only on infrastructure, but on the people who operate and maintain it. My guest today is going to talk about just that. Dr. Diana Byrne is an assistant professor in the Department of Civil Engineering in the Stanley and Karen Pigman College of Engineering at the University of Kentucky. Diana, thank you very much for talking with me today. We chatted a little bit offline about how water and our ability to drink clean water that does not make us sick has always been a passion of mine, even though I'm not an engineer, I'm not a water quality person, but of course as a physician, we know that water is central to life and to health. And water is a focus of yours. And I recently learned through UK Now that you are conducting some studies or research and have an interest in a challenge that we're facing in the Commonwealth and beyond as it relates to the maintenance of water facilities. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So my expertise is really in sustainability of water infrastructure. And a key part of that is, you know, looking at the sustainability of our water workforce. But first, let me kind of back up. And if we think about water infrastructure broadly, and we were talking offline about just the value of water, if we think about what it takes for us to be able to drink clean water every day, you know, we start from this process of drinking water treatment where we're pulling this water out from the environment or surface water or groundwater, then we're treating it to drinking water standards. Then that after it's treated, it has to get distributed through these underground pipe networks that require lots of energy and pumping and everything to get it to where it needs to go. After we use it, that water that goes down, you know, our sinks, our toilets, etc., gets collected through wastewater collection. And then that goes to a wastewater treatment plant where it's treated again to be released back into the environment. And that process can look a little different by each location, but in general, it takes quite a bit of effort, resources, and people to be able to make that cycle happen that is often kind of invisible or something we don't maybe think about too much in our daily life, despite our consumption of water on a daily basis. So my, you know, ever-growing knowledge on this topic really comes from work with the Appalachian Community Technical Assistance and Training Program, or we call it ACTAT, which is a multi-state partnership led by West Virginia University to provide technical assistance and training to small water utilities in the Appalachian part of the country. And this work started in around 2016, I think, so years before I was even at UK. So I'm really grateful to Lyndall Ormsby and Scott Yost and Donna McNeil at UK, who've been doing this work for a decade and kindly invited me to join the team when I started here at UK. And so what we talk with water utilities is what USDA and EPA has defined as kind of the 10 key management areas for sustainable utility management. So what does it take for a utility to be able to do it, you know, what it needs to do and provide this water? And it's interesting because some of these management areas focus on the water itself, like, you know, water quantity, like how much water do we have enough to meet the demands, water quality, you know, it is what emerging contaminants is staying in the water, etc. But then others focus on more like long-term sustainability concerns, like, you know, financial viability, disaster response planning, these different things. But then kind of the last category that's really important of these like sustainable management areas that they define are really people focused. So not just people in terms of consumers of water and customer satisfaction, but also the people, you know, the employees that are making this happen every day. And just kind of to think a little bit more about those employees, like this is just such an impactful career. So all this water infrastructure takes operators, managers, billing, you know, utility personnel, all sorts of people to make kind of this magic happen every day of us being able to turn on this faucet. And so it's, you know, it's such an important and meaningful job. And these people are really, we have them to thank for just the daily service that they do for this very like fundamental need that we need as humans for water. It's also a really skilled job. So there's a lot of diverse knowledge that these people have related to, you know, the water system itself and their pipe networks and these materials, but also, you know, some chemistry and math and hydraulics and all this stuff. So it's a really impactful, important job, a very skilled job. And with that in mind, you know, we really need to maintain that workforce and into the future for us to be able to keep, you know, enjoying the great privilege of the daily faucet.
Well, that was one of the things that I was really struck by in your article. And I think there's a bit of a parallel between that profession and my profession as a forensic pathologist in that, and our listeners may be thinking, what? How is there a connection? But we are in the midst of a bit of a demographic challenge where not enough young people are going into the profession and trying to recruit good qualified people who are enthusiastic about this type of work seems to be a bit of a challenge in both our worlds.
Absolutely. Yes. No, that is such a great point. And some of it is, you know, generationally, which may be similar for your field as well, but people are just getting close to retirement and in that generation, the baby boomer generation. And so we have a lot of people who may be leaving that profession. Actually, Lyndall Ormsby and some other wonderful colleagues at UK did a water workforce survey a few years ago where they surveyed all the operators and a bunch of operators and managers at water utilities in Kentucky. And they found that about 30% of the surveyed operators plan to retire in the next 6 years, which is just going to be a huge gap in the workforce. But something really cool that they also found was that they also found that the surveyed operators had really high job satisfaction. So people were really happy with it. So I think it is a career that can bring so much meaning and fulfillment in just the, you know, what you're doing for your community on a daily basis. But we gotta have people to fill that position.
What sort of efforts are underway to try to recruit folks? I would think perhaps in colleges of engineering or maybe even starting as we do in the healthcare world, starting to talk with high school students about potential careers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's as with anything, like a multi-level approach is valuable. So, you know, on the like more specific operator level, I think there's work we do with the ACTAP program for operator training and outreach with even through things like E-Day at UK and just different summer camps and getting people kind of aware of the water industry in general as a career path. There's also some great work out of the Kentucky Water Research Institute here at UK, led by my colleague Donna McNeil, on specific internship programs, partnering with high schoolers and offering like water internship programs at their local utility. And so they get kind of a summer internship experience with the hope that then maybe they'll, you know, go in and continue with that profession after high school. I think also, you know, on just like a very bigger picture individual level, like there's a lot of value in just raising awareness about kind of the value of water and what it, you know, just kind of appreciating what that is. And I think the more that we kind of understand, and that's some of our job in engineering is to try to kind of make that invisible a little bit more visible. And so if we kind of just are aware of what it takes and, you know, knowing our local utility and whatnot, then hopefully that can also kind of just help people be more aware of that career path in that industry in general.
I think it's so critical. And we've talked on this show before about infrastructure, whether we're talking about public health infrastructure with vaccines or regular visits to a healthcare professional, or, you know, in this context, the water that we use. But so much of our infrastructure, we tend not to think about it unless something goes wrong. And it's gratifying to hear that there is an educational effort underway to make us appreciate this amazing resource that we have and that we all too often take for granted, but also getting that next generation up and ready to help keep us healthy and with clean water as well.
Yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm reminded of this children's book I gave to my niece many years ago about it kind of traces a water droplet as it goes, like, from the environment through all these engineered infrastructure systems. And if you really think about that individual droplet, it's pretty humbling what it takes and who it takes to get us there.
Well, at some point, I'm going to have to find the title of that book from you. But in the meantime, before we part, Diana, is there anything else you would want our listeners to know?
Just thank you so much for having me. And yeah, I just encourage everyone to think about next time they turn on the faucet, think about what it took, both the physical infrastructure and also who we have to thank for that. And just appreciate that privilege and the people who made that possible for us.
My thanks today to Dr. Diana Byrne, faculty member in the Department of Civil Engineering in the Stanley and Karen Pigman College of Engineering at the University of Kentucky, for talking with us about water infrastructure and the people who keep water safe to drink. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist and professor emeritus at the University of Kentucky who volunteers his time covering important medical news for our community. This program is available as a podcast at wuky.org.